This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here in studio. John and Lance along with Dell. Raheel's going to join us in about an hour here on ESPN 97.5. He was able to white knuckle it in. Are you guys okay? Ken Hoffman is joining us and some guy. Is this Reg Burns? This is
No.
That's not Reg.
Reg is listening, though, but this is, I guess he's my friend. He lives in the neighborhood. His name is Dr. William Van Nostrum. We call him Dr. Bill. He is, you ready for this?
Uh-huh.
He's a psychiatrist.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Welcome in, Dr. Bill.
Yeah. Well, good morning. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for being here.
Man, you know, I was listening to you coming in, and it's
how's
not,
the storm?
It's not that bad.
It's really
I wasn't
not
slipping
really?
And sliding. I wasn't, you know, I didn't see the Rangers, New York Rangers, in the next lane. It's fine, you know. We're just so...
No. We had to take the day off of school because it's going to be about 40 degrees.
Texas A&M
is off. Yeah,
is off
because.
It gets colder a little bit north of us, but here it might freeze around 3-ish, 2-ish.
Dude, it's minus 20 up north, and everybody's going to school.
Yeah. Oh, it's, by the way, you know,
yeah,
my car.
Yeah, they have chains and snow tires and whatnot. We don't
not anymore.
Nobody does.
We don't my car thermometer outside, it's 30. It is freezing now.
It's 30?
It's 30
degrees. Oh, my
God.
How are we going to survive it? Cover your plants. Wrap your pipes.
Yeah, I wrote.
You wrapped your pipe? You did?
I wrapped it last night.
Dwight Howard needs to.
That's terrible.
Anyway.
Dwight Howard's wrapping his pipe in this cold weather?
How many kids do you think he has?
Doesn't he have like 12 by 11 or something?
No.
What is Dwight?
No,
six?
No. He's higher. No, higher. No. Like Price is Right. Higher. Look it up. Eight.
Eight by.
He was on that.
8x7?
I love the buys.
I love the buy thing.
He has the porn star on TMZ, my favorite show.
Five kids.
No, keep reading. One says
Well, this
eight.
Is September 9th, 2017.
Oh, he's already got six. He's got six.
He's got more now. A porn star said, if I could have
I
do a porn
more
shot with one athlete, it would be Dwight Howard.
Really?
Yeah. So, you know, if he doesn't go for the offensive rebounds, but he's banging a lot of...
And you have a problem with that?
Anyway.
So anyway, did we get a lot of hits yesterday on our little 10-question thing?
You're about to get a hit right now. Let me tell you something, John. I'm not a psychiatrist. Okay, that's
Dr. Bill is.
Dr. Bill. Can I call you Dr. Bill? That's what we call you in the neighborhood.
Yes, you may call me Dr. Bill.
Here's the thing. Lance, when did you join the...
How does he talk like
when
that?
When did you... I don't know.
November 27th.
Okay, so 2 months, whatever it's been, a month and a half.
Yeah.
So David Gow, the guy who signs our paychecks, runs the whole thing, he says, why don't you do a 10-question, reintroduce Lance into the Gow Media family? So instead of just saying, like, who's your favorite team, that kind of stuff, I try to give him playful questions to bring out his personality. Because Lance, if anything else, he's personable, right?
Oh, yeah,
he played Lance magnificent. Played along.
Thanks.
He revealed little things I didn't know. Like, I didn't know his father was a professional football coach. for example,
listen, we're at the old station. We'd have Lance's dad on, and then the coffee'd be texting. How in the hell did you secure this interview?
Yeah,
Lance's dad?
Yeah,
how'd you do it?
Yeah, I've been trying for years to avoid that one. Anyway, and also, I didn't know, apparently he has several children.
I do.
Yes.
You did.
Yeah.
So Lance was just great, So then Gal says to me, do that with John, And, John, I called you in the culture map. You're day oneer.
Yeah.
You are the icon of the station.
Yeah.
So I, again, try to bring you out, just not the personality that you display on the radio here, which is, you got to do a lot of sports here. I want to bring you out as a full-fledged human because I've known you a pretty long time. So I give you funny questions, like one. Okay, you were born in Chicago.
Yeah.
So as a jokey kind of thing, I say, defend that horrible Chicago deep dish pizza.
See?
No one likes that.
But it's an attack.
Yeah.
You attacked me right off the bat.
Yeah. Let me give you a line. Here's one thing that makes me nuts. It's how you, all of a sudden, you're roasting me. And it's very, very attacking. You New Yorkers think your pizza is better than Chicago's. You suck. You suck. I ask you another question here.
That was my answer.
Yeah, well, Lance, if you had read that, maybe you would.
You suck.
So then I said, you never seem to lose your enthusiasm for doing a show, and that's a great trait to have.
Yeah,
you know, you got to stay up. You know, and you say the coolest part of my job is I don't really feel I have a job. Well, not in the same sense as you. You don't do anything. He's talking directly to me. And he goes, you make people write out answers to 10 questions. You know, I said, I was told to do this, John. And here's another one. I asked Lance, remember I said, what is it? You both have worked with other partners, but this combination seems to click. What is it about the
chemistry?
I had
chemistry? A really good answer.
Yeah.
You had a tremendous answer.
I knew you did.
It was funny. It was perceptive. Right. I almost stayed awake
for it. What'd John say?
What was Lance's answer? Just print that. I could pretend I know what he said because I read your article, but I didn't read your article. I don't read anything you write. You lame, your grammar, you know. Just a personal attack, so
right.
And you know, I don't like to share too much of my, you know, my real life. You know, the real person here,
because people would be horrified. You're like
really, actually,
almost
yeah.
as horrified as I am about it. But I don't
just
feel
like they did with Kevin Spacey. But go ahead.
Like, wait, what did he do?
What now?
What is Kim Hoffman doing?
I've decided to live my life as a Lance. I can't deal with John. I'm going to direct this to you. I don't feel safe in the workplace.
With John?
Okay. Yeah, with John here.
Okay.
Words,
he did attack you.
Words count.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He was attacking me. So I happened to bump into Dr. Bill, Dr. William Van Nostrum. I'll be very professional here. And I said, did you read any? You know, he told me he reads everything I write because he's a big fan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially
I love the Culture Map articles. They are fantastic.
Did I say come in now? Anyway, you know, we went over this about 10 times and you jumped the gun. Oh, here's another example. Lance, about 10 years ago?
Yeah.
I'm a coach in Westview Little League. It's where I met this fake doctor we have here. Mm-hmm. And John is coaching in Bel Air. So I said, let's have a little friendly game. T-shirts are made up. What does it say on this T-shirt?
Eat that, Hoffie.
Eat that, Hoffie. John.
Although there's no comma, so it's technically eat that, Hoffie.
Yeah.
That's
yes.
Right.
John, did you have other T-shirts made up?
Hoffie sucks.
Hoffie sucks. Put Hoffie on 8-year-old kids.
How do you
kids.
Feel safe?
Frankly, I don't feel safe, okay? So yeah, I brought in Dr. Bill. Okay, Dr. Bill, you read the Q&A. That's an inside kind of journalism term. Q&A with John.
Yes,
what'd you get?
Judging from these T-shirts, I could say that he has a lot of issues with passive aggressiveness, probably rooted in some low self-esteem. And
more self-esteem for Ken, my esteem for Ken. And, that could be it.
Get to the part where.
And I also think he has illusions of grandeur as well.
Yeah, get to the part where he's jealous of me.
Oh, and also
the one I wrote, I put on a piece of paper in front of you there.
And you know, judging from our days in the Westview Little League. You know, Ken he exhibited outstanding leadership abilities. Mm. The kids all really reacted very positively to him.
Mm-hmm.
He's very confident and very, very strong sense of himself.
Okay, enough.
Yeah. Oh, very strong
I hate when
himself.
I bring in someone and they ad lib. Isn't that the worst? You know?
Did you memorize it, Dr. Bill? Did you
told
memorize
him, said,
everything? Look, you can just read it. He's written it out for you.
We were just in a refreshment room there, and I said, don't read. Just talk.
No, read.
He's over there.
No, it's better if you read.
Yeah, so, you know, the other thing, Lance, when I gave you the 10 questions, remember, I said, just give me like a paragraph, okay?
Yeah.
Granato, it's like the Unabomber Manifesto. This guy, he just, it's enough. I don't feel safe. I want to see my shop steward. Is this a union?
HRP. HRP.net. Go to HRP.net and tell them.
We have
them
that here?
Yes.
Who is that? Laura?
That's our human resources
Laura?
Company. That's Laura. Yeah. You could call. Go directly to Mike Holly, who owns the HRP, and tell him, you wouldn't be the first, trust me, that felt threatened by me here. Okay. Am I right, Dell, or am I right? Yeah. Any salesperson actually here, that's kind of the case.
Yeah, I like when someone says you worked in Coors Light. That was good
you did
that.
I had to work in Coors Light.
Yeah. Did you work it into the answer?
So I'm sitting home, and I hear the thing, oh good. He answered the question. I go, oh, crap. Am I going to do this? I put everything in verbatim.
Yeah.
That's all. I let him go. You know?
No, that's right.
But seriously.
Culture map.
There's only one thing. Yeah, I didn't want to do this. Do you know what an intervention is?
Yeah.
Okay, when you leave today, there's going to be four guys down there with white lab coats with butterfly nets.
Really?
They are your friends. Go in the car with them.
Well, I'm going to have to wait because I'm going to do a spot for Improve My Erection today. Okay, I'm going to do it. They're going to come in here and we're going to record
that,
a spot.
He didn't read it, but radar?
This guy didn't. The fake psychiatrist here was supposed to question your ability in the bed.
Apparently, Dr. Bill
didn't feel comfortable with that.
You should have just read it all, Dr. Bill. All right, yeah. 813 ESPN 97.5 culturemap.com. It was the first story up there yesterday.
No, it was the most read story on Culture Map yesterday.
Was it really?
Yeah. No, I like the way everybody in the team here retweeted it. You know.
Hey, Raheel, did you retweet that?
You retweet mine?
What? Retweet or what?
No, retweet my stuff.
No, you just Raheel's put it up.
Raheel's not working
yet. It's not
yet.
Even up
what are
yet
you doing?
Till 9 o'clock.
Why
are you talking about?
Talking to Raheel? It's not 9 yet.
It's not even up yet. It's not 9 o'clock.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not up.
Yes, it is.
Jerk.
I'm going to bill you for this.
All right.
I'm going to bill somebody,
you. You might have to bill somebody for some work you do around here.
Yeah,
right. All right. Speaking of aggression, that one. Holy crap.
Yeah, really?
You, Dr. Bill, take him into the
side room.
Yeah, really?
I haven't known him for 10 years.
Work with him. All right. That's Ken Hoffman, culturemap.com.
He made shirts that were derogatory towards you.
Sexually.
Yeah. No, Hoffy sucks. I put it. And the kids were wearing them, 8-year-olds.
I think one said, "Put tell him about the homeless guy."
Eight-year-olds are wearing shirts and said, "Hoffy."
John,
sucks.
Tell him about the homeless guy.
The homeless guy.
Yeah, about 2 years ago.
Oh, all the coaches, we all had them. Yeah. It was eight. We were playing 8-year-old baseball.
Tell me about the homeless guy.
2 years ago, I get a phone call. There's some guy pushing a shopping cart downtown with a shirt that says Ken Hoffman sucks. That's what I said. And I said, "Are you serious?" So I, like a maniac, I'm driving downtown. I got to find this guy
because I don't have one anymore. Yeah, I need one of those. Yeah. No, I had the kids all wear them. It was great. 814 ESPN 97.5. Let's talk about Renters Warehouse. RentersWarehouse.com. RentersWarehouse.com. 713-224-RENT. Rich Drake is listening right now. As a matter of fact, he's going into work, Lance. What do you want to say to Rich Drake?
I tell him this. Thank you for giving me the heads up on what my house will rent for, because I used to just think, well, I know what it will sell for, so maybe I sell my home and I do this and that. When we move, my wife and I already said, if we ever move, which we're going to move at some point, we're absolutely renting, because the price that you get, the money you make on rentals, is going to be well beyond our mortgage payments. So why not have someone else pay for our house and get that money back on top of it?
Right.
And put that in the pocket.
That's right. So in the long run, you have the property, you buy another one, and while someone else is paying for your mortgage,
you build some wealth now.
That's how you build wealth. No, that's exactly how you build wealth. And then you want to, okay, when you're older and you want to buy a house on a lake somewhere, you sell that house and you go buy that one. Mm-hmm. And as opposed to putting that money in your pocket now. And oh, by the way, all the selling costs and everything else, forget about it. What you need to do is call 713-224-RENT, 713-224-RENT, or renterswarehouse.com. Rich Drake, listening right now. And listen, when you call there, just ask for Rich. He's not doing anything today. What he'd like to do is talk to you. And you know what? And go directly to the top. He's the general manager. Say, no, I want to talk to Rich about this. 713-224-RENT or renterswarehouse.com.
So insensitive. She asking why you say that. I'm chilling. You know who it is.
It's Kareem Jackson, and you listen to ESPN 97.5.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. All right, Longhorn Key's been waiting a while. He had to sit through that whole Ken Hoffman, that bit by Ken Hoffman, okay? And
did you give him a monster truck?
He woke that dude up to come in here to be Dr. Bill Van Rysdam or whatever it was. And
not the same. Not the same.
And he got to say like three words and then he had to leave.
I believe that John has latent tendencies of passive aggressiveness. Get to the part where I said the thing with the thing.
Get to the part I wrote. Longhorn Keith is here on ESPN 97.5. What do you say, Longhorn?
What's going on, fellas? Hey, man, real quick, it's crazy bad out here, guys. Be careful. I mean, there's cars going everywhere. Can you hear me out here? Can you hear me okay?
Keith,
I mean,
are you okay, really Keith?
Bad.
kid.
I see ice going everywhere. Cars are just flying all off the freeway. Guys, I'm going to pull over.
Do you need help? Do you need help?
No, I think I'm going to be okay, man.
Okay.
I don't want anyone else to risk their lives out here.
Yeah, okay. Well, just stay there for a couple of days. It'll actually be about 39 tonight.
Are you
should
anywhere
be fine.
Near a Coors Light? Stay there.
Raheel is actually like, I don't know if I want to drive home.
Are you guys going to stay here?
I'm gonna
are you
gonna,
what are you guys going to do? Shut up.
Come on.
God, he's exactly. White knuckling
I'm trying to goad him into turning his mic
on. No, he won't. What about them Rockets, Longhorn Keith?
Did you actually see the dust up?
Dust ups? Yeah. So here's the funny thing, right? I know Darren Morey listened to you guys, and it irritates me with this team, man. Literally, like, I'm so sick and tired of NBA players that want to be gangsters and thugs. And yeah, to me, it just shows it really shows to me the maturity level, and more importantly, the lack of fight in this team. Instead of you winning, going out there on the court and taking out your anger or frustration, you get your ass beat week after week. Don't get me wrong, they're a good team, but I don't think they're a championship-built team. And here's the funny thing. Like, if you pay attention to this team in terms of just the mental toughness, to me, I think they're one of the weakest teams in the West mentally. And what I mean by that is if you look at, for example, take a look at when you want to compare, like, championship-level teams. Golden State may get pissed off, but they're going to come down and drop, like, 5 straight threes on you. They're going to play some defense. They're going to get in your head. This team is so weak. Like, it makes me so upset that we picked up Chris Paul and we still revert back to the same old shenanigans of being a weak mental team. And to be honest with you, week after week, they do the same thing. If it's not the refs that they're complaining about, it's some player that's in their head. And it just drives me insane. And the last thing I'll say about that is, if you pay attention to one of the things that always in the hood that we grew up doing, you never ever – the guy who is always doing all the loudest talking and yelling, he ain't doing jack. It's the dude that's the quiet dude. If you pay attention to the NBA –
yeah, Trevor's the scary one to me.
Yeah.
So here's the funny thing with that. Trevor, to me, he's not scary. To me, I see Trevor as that dude that'll dust it up. Anytime you take boys with you, if you want to go handle a dude, especially Doc Rivers' son, you don't need to take 3 or 4 dudes. Just go handle it. You know what I mean? Like,
well, but
why are you going behind the back door and all that? Good. I promise you, Hakeem Olajuwon would just take you on the floor. Or go mess with, what's his name from New York, Oakley or Metal World Peace. They don't need people
that's
with
not
them.
Even, yeah.
They'll bust you in
well,
your
Well, you're
face.
Talking about crazy people. Charles Oakley is Charles Oakley, Anthony Mason, like no one messes with Oak. That's a different. Now you're bringing up a different level of tough in NBA league circles. But I do get what you're saying. Like, that's kind of a bad look to have three guys rolling 3 or 4 deep over to a visitor's locker room because you're mad at some guy named Austin who's a coach's son who played at Duke, and then you're mad at Blake and Austin, Aiden and Quinn, and you know and Kevin and all these guys, like, I don't know. There wasn't even a fight on the line. It'd be one thing if everything spilled over because there was a big fight and somebody took a cheap shot and punched somebody in the back of the neck or somebody did. There wasn't even a fight.
No.
Like, why are you rolling up on somebody's locker room?
It's because Austin said something on the sidelines that.
Shut your bitch ass up, Austin! Like, as soon as Austin said one thing, they were like.
Oh, that was it.
Thank
they
you.
Lost their
we
minds.
Get to jump on Austin. That's all it was.
Yeah.
Like, that is not the most mentally tough outlet. I mean, Keith has a point there. You got bigger fish to
have
fry
than that.
Have
you ever heard of 4 guys leaving the locker room trying to go and get into
no,
the
I
other
mean,
locker
look,
room?
Look, if now, something happened on the court, yeah. Sometime if you're in the heat of the moment right afterwards, I've heard about guys.
I think we have heard about it. Yeah.
We've heard that before. But after you, like. That seems weird. After a game, you got cooling off period, like, you going to let Austin tell us to shut up? Like, it's guys, come on, man. On to the next game. Stop. I don't know.
We're so mad. We're going to shower, change, and then knock on the Clippers locker room. What?
Well, yeah, right. What? That is not exactly heat of the moment. Not exactly heat of the moment, all right? I watched a lot of Law and Order, and they would not have.
That's premeditated.
That's premeditated. You're absolutely. They had plenty of time to cool down and get their senses about.
You think there's going to be a suspension?
I do. I do. I think that
I think it'll be a fine.
Adam Silver ain't having none of it.
You know, 50,000 fine for each guy. Clint Capela will be like peanut butter and jelly.
That'll show James.
Peanut butter and jelly.
That's all.
I was just looking for snacks.
No, he was not pounding on the door looking for peanut butter and jelly. And James is going to go, 50,000, really? You know what the strippers here are going to think about that? Now I'm going to have to, no? What? What? I'm going to have to cut back on strippers now? No. Listen, it's 826 ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776 is the number if you'd like to get in here. If you haven't heard the Rockets after the game, it was late, so you might not have heard. Adrian Wojnarowski reporting that the four Rockets went.
They didn't play well, by the way.
Then through and got to the back door of the Clippers locker room while Clint Capela was out front banging on the door, and they were trying to get in to get Austin Rivers because he said something. He said something about somebody's mom or something.
It was another big game for Ryan Anderson, who was minus -8. Trevor Reeves was minus 13.
Why you got to point out
Clint Capela minus 10, Chris Paul minus 10, Eric Gordon minus 15.
Why are you Ryan Anderson watching?
Well, I'm just showing you that of all the starters, he was the most effective.
So what was Ryan Anderson's line?
12-4-2.
12 was a big. Hey, what? You're not going to say, hey, Ryan Anderson increased his output by like 7 points, okay? Instead, your headline is, oh, he's minus -8.
Gerald Green's magic is starting to wear off a little bit. His pixie, 3-point pixie desk, he was 1 of 8 yesterday.
Yeah.
He's starting to, it's starting to level out.
Yeah.
The old homeostasis, as they call it, is starting to kick in a little bit. Right now, his 3-point percentage. If you were to guess currently, John, what do you think it is for the regular season? At one point, he's shooting 75% from
three. I would say he's probably about 48% now.
41.
41.
It's really come down. It's falling. Yeah,
that's really come down.
It's falling.
GiveMeTheVIN.com. GiveMeTheVIN.com. That's what you need to do if you're looking for a way to sell your car. It's so, so simple. If you've ever listened to his show, John Clay Wolf's show on Saturday morning, it's funny. It's a good show, actually. And it's kind of interesting when people call in and they'll just, over the phone, they'll say, you know, I got a 1998 Thunderbird or whatever. And it's got, 107,000 miles on it. It's in mint condition. What do you give me? And the dude will just spit it out right there. And they're like, well, you're kind of close or whatever. I want more. Of course you want more. But it's even easier if you go givemethevin.com. You can give him the VIN. He will immediately, like within a minute, spit back a quote for you. Now, not if it's an older car or if you say you've had dents on it or, it's been worked on and all the stuff, then it might take a little bit longer, but they're going to get you a quote back really quick. And then here's the deal. If they can't beat CarMax's offer, if he says, Carmen, you got to go with CarMax, he'll send you another $100. How about that? So it costs you nothing to find out what your car is worth. And John Clay Wolf probably is going to give you the best price. GiveMeTheVIN.com. That's GiveMeTheVIN.com.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Oh, my God. Speaking of The Bench, there's a video. I'm going to retweet it, and people have retweeted it already. There's a basketball game in Kentucky. High school basketball game, and a player throws a pass up the court. It hits the ref in the back of the head, and his toupee comes off. And the bench is so... Got to watch the kids on the bench.
The kids on the bench, when a guy's hair falls off, the kids on the bench are like, oh, my God! They just go bananas the rest of the time as the guy puts his hair back on.
It came completely off.
Yo, my dude, I got your hair here. Put your hair back on. He's like,
Oh, toupee guy.
And then if you call a
penalty. You can't be a high school ref and have a toupee. I'm sorry.
What do you mean you can't?
You just can't.
I just don't even feel like anyone should have toupees anymore. This is too big. First of all, you can always tell, right? You can always tell somebody who has a toupee.
Yes.
You can always tell.
Yeah.
And then a referee with it, you're just asking for it. I don't know why.
Ref, here's your hair. You forgot your hair. But the kids are all laugh. It's terrible. Don't watch it. I just retweeted it.
Were you a big fan of De'Aaron Fox? I'm guessing you were. Everyone was.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too. Bigger than Lonzo Ball. And I think Lonzo's having a better year right now than De'Aaron Fox, numbers wise. But are you seeing what some of these rookies are doing? Donovan Mitchell, like, there are rookies who are. This rookie class is going to be insane in basketball. There's a lot of people, myself included. My kids were telling me, we were talking about rookie of the year because they always ask me basketball stuff constantly. Like, who do you think is rookie of the year? I'm like, I don't know. Probably like, who did I say? I said somebody who I thought was, I said maybe Kyle Kuzma. Like, snacks. My 9-year goes, no way. He's not better than Mitchell. Like, who's Mitchell? Is Mitchell one of the guys the Rockets want to fight? Mitchell and Quinn and Aiden and Austin? Is Mitchell one of the kids, too? Like, no, Donovan Mitchell, he's the best. I'm like, what? Who is this? What are y'all talking about? And they click, 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 click. I'm like, holy crap, this dude's almost averaging 20 a game. Who is this Donovan Mitchell? Who? And I looked at the rookie class. It's like, holy crap, the rookie class is really good.
Yeah. Well, Dennis Smith was early on, right? Everybody was just amazed by Dennis Smith and how unbelievably awesome he is. Mm-hmm. Kyle Kuzma is going to be a star.
Oh, yeah, Ben Simmons is technically.
Yeah, Ben Simmons.
In rookie of the year voting. Kyle Kuzma is going to be a really, really,
really good player. Really good player.
But have you seen Markelle Fultz? Raheel, have you seen a video of him shooting? So he had the jacked up shoulder.
Yeah.
His shot is so busted now. I'm like, will this guy ever play basketball again? He looks terrible trying to shoot a ball. It was sad watching it. Somebody was filming practice, and they were really kind of down low filming Markelle Fultz shoot on another court. It was horrific.
No, he can't hit. He couldn't hit anything in the he couldn't hit.
Well, he had the shoulder injury, and the report was the Sixers were trying to make him change his shot, or somebody got in his ear saying, the reason your shoulder is hurting is because of the way you're shooting. So now he's been trying to compensate, redefine his shot.
You should never compensate.
And it looks so bad. You've never seen a kid look that uncomfortable. It looks like they took a kid from an NFL roster or somebody from a college, and they're like, hey, you want to learn basketball? I think you can play in
the
NBA.
That's what it looks like. I'm not joking.
Or Tim Tebow throwing. Hey, Tim Tebow, you want to play in the league? You got to throw like this. Oh, God, no.
Yeah, like, why would you change somebody's shot this?
Or a celebrity golf tournament where somebody who's decent at golf, who, like, an NFL player is decent, mm-hmm. not even good, just decent, who's got a little funky hitch in a swing, that's what it looked like.
Oh, man. It's wild, dude.
Like, you just say, hey, you know, Brooks Reed looks decent. Brooks Reed looks like he can shoot at 84. That's what it looks like.
So they hit on Ben Simmons. Jahlil Okafor, how'd that work out?
Didn't work out.
How's this working out with Markelle Fultz?
Nerlens Noel, by the way, they traded him to the Mavericks.
Yeah,
that didn't work out. Like,
all those number one picks.
It's, you know, like, you got to trust the process and all this, and everybody's going crazy over Joel Embiid all that, but this could have legit been the next really, really good team.
Oh, my God.
Really, really
God. Easy.
If they hit. Yeah. But look, in the NBA, you just got to hit two or three
guys. Well, first
guys.
Of all, Simmons,
you really do.
You can build around Simmons and Embiid for.
Yeah,
forever.
You can do
that. But they had Fultz. They had so many top picks. You could have literally put together. I mean, LeBron would have tried to play with them to go get more rings. He would have been like, "I've always loved Philadelphia. Can I have some rings, please?"
Yeah.
You guys need to jump on board.
This is why I'm up.
This is the team he would have tried to jump into.
Which is why I'm down on Jeff Leno. Mark Appel, Brady Aiken. How'd those two work out, Jeff?
Terrible. Oh, what does Jeff Leno know about building a champion?
And, going on Donovan Mitchell real quickly.
Wait a minute.
That he's gonna win the NBA dunk contest. He's gonna get in this year. You're gonna see this. That dude has like next level hops. Some of the stuff he's doing in game, it's wild.
He can dunk?
No. He can. Yeah, of course he can dunk.
You think?
I know
can...
John. This is John's bit.
No. ESPN.
Top 10.
Oh, you're telling me an NBA guy can dunk? No, way John's to go, bit, ESPN.
John's bit is to I don't know, disavow is not the word, but it's to delegitimize anything you say if he thinks it's not interesting.
No. NBA
there
guy
he
can
is.
Dunk?
There
oh, my God.
Right now. John's bit is to not.
Is this his bit?
Yeah,
that's his bit.
Delegitimize things he doesn't think are interesting
because
he didn't come up with it.
And this is just like, so then why even show highlights of the Masters? You're
words.
Telling me a professional golfer can hit a putt?
No.
Similar.
No. I'm talking about top 10. They never show a top 10 putt.
Unless because
it's
80 golf sucks.
Or 100 feet.
Good.
You know why
job.
They don't show a top 10 putt? Because golf blows.
No one cares. No, they do show. It is. It makes top 10 when it's 80 feet. Not a dunk by a 6'10 guy.
Well, Donovan Mitchell's not. If he dunks over a 6'10 guy, that's like making a putt from 80 feet.
No. They just show a regular. No. Oh, look at this dunk. Oh, really? He dunked. He dunked.
The worst thing he does. He's 6'3, 215. The guy jumps like Vince Carter. Look, just put in Donovan Mitchell highlights.
I'll look.
It's wild.
Look, I mean, I'm looking at the rookies. This is going to go down. This is going to go down as one of the great rookie classes of all time. Right now, Lauri Markkanen is already averaging 19.5 and 8 a game as a rookie. Donovan Mitchell, like 19.3 and 4.7. Of course, this was like a week ago. Ben Simmons, 17.5, 6.3, 2.2. Ben Simmons is probably going to win. Lonzo Ball is having a solid season. Jason Tatum, everyone loves. Bogdan Bogdanovic, who was in some movies, was in, I think he was...
Porn star?
I don't know what he was in. He was just in some, I assume, movies. 17 points and 3.3 rebounds. Kind of a Ryan Anderson line there. Dennis Smith, 15.3, 5.3. These are rookie numbers. I mean, really, really impressive. You ever heard of Tyrone Wallace? Never in your life. 13.5 points a game. De'Aaron Fox is 10th in the rookie class right now.
Well, number 9 is Mike James, not the Mike James we know.
White Mike James?
From Lamar. Played in Beaumont. And he's a rookie. He got picked up by the Pelicans on a two-way contract. Another kid. Like, you're like, who? From where?
Who?
Yeah, exactly. But you don't have to be from a blue-chip school anymore.
You really don't.
You don't. As long as you can
I think all sports are getting like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Football's getting like that, too. Mm-hmm. Where you can come from a smaller school.
I mean, look, the best players are the best players.
Yeah,
so,
sure.
Like, if the best players go to Alabama, Alabama's got the best, NFL potential,
but if the
NFL
best
talent.
Quarterback went to North Dakota State,
but that's what I'm
then
saying.
He's the best quarterback.
Wherever you, they just want players now.
Even now, like Daryl Morey on Instagram, he always posts like what game he's scouting and whatnot. He's not at Kentucky against Louisville. He's at like Wesleyan Christian taking on South Dakota University.
Who is
like,
that?
Morey.
Well, that's because Morey's a second round finder. Yeah.
Loves that. He's like, oh, this kid from Wesleyan Christian, you got to watch him right now. I'm like, who? This? What kid? But that's where the NBA, you can find really good role players from small schools, and they will produce.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get Tony in here. Shortest wait times in the business.
Yep, we are. Yep.
We really are. We really are. He wants to talk to UFC, so.
Oh.
Tony.
I'm on the air?
Yeah, Tony. What's going on?
Oh, I'm sorry. I just waited so long. Shortest wait time. Maybe not so much. I just called to find out what your thoughts were on the top two fights in the UFC card this weekend.
I got to see who it is. I'm literally only doing draft right now.
Raheel, don't you have your UFC fight? Your UFC card this weekend?
I haven't made my picks.
You haven't made your picks?
No, I haven't made.
What do you think of the top
stay
two?
Stay tuned.
Fights?
Stay tuned. 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. We'll discuss that, Tony.
Why can't you do it now?
Because I didn't hear the question. And
the question was, what do you think of the top two fights on the card this weekend?
I have no thoughts on it yet. So stay tuned at 11 a.m. I was too busy writing.
Right.
I don't have
thoughts
on it.
By the way, next place, they have the UFC
fights. Yeah, and they have the games on Sunday.
Yeah.
I drove by it.
Yeah.
Miocic, the main card, you've got Daniel Cormier versus
Daniel
Volkan.
Cormier was in studio with us.
Ezdemir.
Nice guy.
Yeah.
I like Cormier in that one. I don't know
what
a lot of these
guys. UFC 7,000? What is it?
220. 220.
Yeah. What were we at, Lance? 40.
Which one? Where Brock fought? I've been to a few here in Houston, three here in Houston, and then I've been to like six in Vegas, five in Vegas. You mean the one where Lesnar fought Frank Mir?
It was before. Yeah.
Yeah, you were there in Vegas.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know which one that was. That was the Brock Lesnar's first
41.
Fight.
41. It was.
41?
It was.
Liddell?
Yeah. Yeah, we saw Chuck Liddell take on.
Are you sure?
Yes,
because
the main,
I thought the main event was Frank Mir versus.
No. That was an undercard. Mir was on the undercard there.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Brock?
No. Brock wasn't. It wasn't Brock. It was Mir and somebody else. It was.
Because we went and saw Brock versus Frank Mir because Sean and John, I told him, I said, bet on Frank Mir. Brock's not going to. And I was like.
And we saw Couture too. Randy Couture too.
Oh, that's
Liddell
right. Yeah. Liddell Couture 2. Yeah.
You guys were in the house for that?
Yeah. I was at Liddell Couture 1 when everyone thought Liddell was going to win. And remember Tap Out had the videos. Yeah. It was Punk. I can't remember the names. One of the guys died in a car crash. But they had this pre-fight video, walk-in video where Chuck Liddell, the Iceman. And like Chuck Liddell thought he was going to smash Randy Couture. And Randy Couture got him down and put him in pretzel holds and stayed there for like three rounds and just like hit him in the side of the face a few times. And everyone's like, come on, Iceman! Like, yeah, everyone's all Vegas'd out with their, especially back then, Ed Hardy was hardcore. And everyone's like, kick his ass, Chuck! And Randy Couture's like, no, we're good. I'm 39. Just going to hit him in the face a few times with a hammer fist. And Chuck Liddell couldn't get up.
Honestly, and the women were scarier than the guys.
Yeah, you don't want to mess with the women of the UFC.
The tats?
No, you're talking about there's some smoke shows at the
UFC. Oh, yeah, no. But I was sitting a little bit back.
But you don't want to look at them.
I was sitting, you know.
There's a lot of likes to fight guys.
Oh, yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Are you looking at my girl?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
What's the problem, bro?
Yeah.
What do you mean, what's the problem?
No, but I wasn't sitting where the smoke shows
were.
I was sitting
where
ass
implants.
Where the chicks that were smoking cigarettes and tatted up on their arms, that's where I was sitting.
Oh!
What about playing poker?
One of the things I like doing in Vegas is playing a little game of poker, but I don't really like having to fly to Vegas to go play poker. I don't really want to have to drive all the way to Louisiana. I don't have to now. 7801 Westheimer, Prime Social, opening very, very, very soon. Comfortable, upscale location. Used to be a restaurant there. This place is beautiful. It's a great spot. And I was just there. They're putting the finishing touches on it right now. This is an upscale location allowing you to kick back and enjoy affordable dining. They've got a full service bar and they got the best gaming in town. They're going to have backgammon. They're going to have chess. And of course, they're going to have poker and not just a few tables. They've got 20 tables, including a high dollar VIP section where if you like to play high stakes games, they got you covered in the VIP section. They're going to have a player's card that's going to track your playing and you have a chance to win free things as well just for going and playing on a consistent basis. 29 huge screen televisions as well. It's a relaxed, safe environment, and Prime Social is going to be coming soon. 7801 Westheimer. It's between Dunvale and Hillcroft. You can't miss it. Big, beautiful building, and you definitely need to head over there. It's right around the corner from my house, so I'm going to be posted up all the time. Visit and like their Facebook page, Prime Social. You will want to be there. Opening very, very soon. A brand new poker spot, upscale. It's going to be one of the very best you're going to find at Prime Social.
ESPN 97.5.
Easy, 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 easy is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back. 852 ESPN 97.5. John and Lance along with Dell for another 8 minutes. And then Raheel joins the fray when he actually gets paid to be on the radio. So we'll do that. He wants the local news on because he's worried about ice. What is it?
Inga.
Ice Inga. Inga. 2018.
That sounds like a slur. We shouldn't be saying that.
it's okay. You can say it.
What?
Inga.
Don't say Inga. Why is Clint Capella saying
Inga? Capella's girlfriend is Inga.
No. That's my girlfriend, Inga.
Why did he say Clint Capella? Hey, guys. Great game.
He's got pudding?
You guys, what restaurant do you guys recommend?
He wasn't trying to fight, was he?
No chance.
There's no chance.
He got stuffed by Wesley Johnson yesterday. It was a one-on-one. Clint Capella rolls to the basket, has a dunk. He's getting ready to cock it back. Wesley Johnson comes in and stuffs him. Clint Capella's not in a position yesterday to go in there and be like, you guys want some of this? Wesley Johnson just opens the door and goes, Clint, come on, man. Let's be real right now.
Can you take me off that poster? That's what Clint wanted.
He got put on a poster with a block. It was wild.
I'm not believing Clint went by himself to the front door.
No.
While the other guys went around to the back. This was not some strategic flank job by the team.
It was Ocean's 13. That's what it was.
I legitimately think he was just... Now, my idea that it plays first-person shooter games, and he could have said, this is my chance to run a strategy that we run when we're a team on World of Warcraft.
No, it's called campaigns. They run a campaign.
Oh, is that what it's
called?
Yeah,
when you plan,
what are some of the words?
Campaigns.
It's called a campaign?
Yeah.
And you do it beforehand?
Yeah, you plan out, hey, okay, so
do
you're
you
going to come
it?
From the... No, I don't. I don't. I did
Del?
It. I
Del
bought
does.
A PS3 and played it for a month and did it.
No, Del does.
Del
no,
does.
I don't. What do you
no,
play, Del?
I don't play games.
He plays Game of Thrones.
I'm a grown-ass man.
No, you do. Yes, you do.
If college football was still a thing, like if they still made that game, I would play that one.
Do you honestly, you don't play any online games?
No.
Do you, Raheel?
No, I don't.
Why?
You don't either?
No, because I'd rather spend that time playing basketball or working out or
you mean
watching.
You play real stuff?
How about spending time with your daughter?
Or writing for Sports Map?
We have a whole lifetime together.
Pace yourself, Raheel. Right. Pace yourself.
When you can't play basketball anymore, when you're like that lady that's walking down there and you can't play basketball anymore.
Here's what I do. I go. Get home down like
shaming?
9 o'clock and my kids, because my kids stay up forever. Like my kids are, hey, Dad, throw the football. Like, nah.
Nah.
Hey, nah, Dad, I don't want
to. You
want
to help me with this project, Dad?
Nah. I'm trying to watch The Fall. It's another serial killer show I'm watching. That's all I do now, watch serial killer shows. Didn't you watch Mindhunter?
Yeah. Yep.
Didn't you binge watch Dexter? Yeah. No, I watched it as the seasons progressed. I knew all about Trinity Killer. Didn't you watch? There was another one I was on, serial killer show. What am I missing? There's another serial killer show. Now I'm watching The End of the Bleeping World, which is another. But it's a funny
Netflix really escalated faster where they're like, okay, we're going to put Making a Murderer out and it's going to be, well, this one guy he might have killed somebody. And then it turned into a full-on serial killer Netflix. Everything is about murder now.
American Vandal wasn't so much about serial killing.
No, it was about drawing stuff.
American Vandal
was pretty funny.
It was funny.
Yeah. American Vandal after the first episode wasn't funny.
No.
Like,
we get
the joke.
We got it.
Yeah.
But that guy
wasn't
pretty funny.
You didn't watch it. I guess if you're in fifth grade, it's funny.
You didn't watch it.
I did three episodes. Because of you. You tweeted like, oh, this is so great. And I'm like, okay, if Lance recommends it.
You're the guy who watched three episodes. You didn't keep going. You got to keep going.
No, because it wasn't funny.
You hated on Stranger Things in the first 10 minutes. Yeah, you love it. I'm talking to you, John.
Stranger Things, and then he liked it. You got to stay with it. You're like my wife, like, I just don't want to go to this restaurant ever again.
I don't know. But Alex was up first. Let's see what he wants. Hey, Alex, how are you?
Hey, I read that Q&A session in Culture Map with you, John.
Uh-huh.
And I know, I understand that schools across HISD are looking into how to incorporate this material as they study. The John and Lance Show in Texas history to learn about some of the icons of our city. I appreciate y'all being back. It's been wonderful. Hey, I was going to ask you, you talking there about being rooting for the Astros over the White Sox as early as 2005. I've noticed when the Astros in the playoffs that the sports media here also tend to be fans. Mm-hmm. They unabashedly rooted for the success of the Astros, which I love. I prefer partial sports media. I just wonder if that's common or is that distinct to Houston?
No, that's common. That's everywhere. You're rooting for your team. Because, here, let's face it, we watch our team every day. And, you know, why would we root, why would we be impartial when that's the team that we see every
day? Well, you know where it's
and
not
especially
common.
In 2000, for me, in 2005, I was in that locker room every day. I was doing the post-game show. I got to know all of the guys. It was awesome.
I don't think it's common, though. I don't think it's common in big cities with multiple newspapers.
Oh, yes, it absolutely
where they,
is.
Like, you think New York wants them to win?
Go listen to Chicago radio about...
Yeah, but no, newspapers, though.
Well, we're talking about radio guys.
Yeah, well, newspapers different. Oh, really? You think it's common that people in Houston want the Houston teams to win? Oh,
well,
you're funny.
No, well,
it's funny
well here,
that
here's
you say
the difference.
That.
Here's the difference. Most of the people in Chicago are Chicago people who grew up with the teams and are fans of the teams.
Yeah, it's provincial.
As opposed to Houston, where most of the media here came from somewhere else.
I would say more than 50% of Houston wants the Houston teams to lose. And it could be as high as 75%.
That can't be dumber, too. Because if you're rooting for the team to lose, you don't want people to listen to your radio show. Because the more teams win... Now, I've always said that Monday after a loss by the Texans is probably the most listened to because everybody wants to hear everybody bitch. But by Wednesday, Thursday, if it's a four-win team, nobody cares anymore.
Care. Yeah.
Nobody cares.
It's not good for business.
It's not good for business. Our business is dependent on teams winning.
I have heard more than one host say they hope the Texans lose because it's better for business.
No, that's stupid.
No, it's false.
It's stupid.
The numbers are...
Long term, it's better for business when you win.
No, when the 2-14 year happened,
when you win.
That was the lowest period of sports radio when 2-14 happened.
Well, now, I actually will say this. I got tons of ratings bonuses when it was two things. During the time that the Texans were terrible and then headed into the draft where they had the first pick, which I would argue... There's high interest in the first pick, which was Jadeveon Clowney. And then the Rockets playoff run also. Tremendous listenership when the Rockets had a good playoff run. But
there was something to look forward to was that number one pick.
What happens is...
This was the same with Vince and Reggie and all that.
Yeah, everyone tunes in for loss talk. But then when your team becomes inconsequential in the year...
But that was the offseason too, now don't forget. It was more important during the offseason than it was the season.
Yeah, actually the ratings weren't great. Whenever the Texans were losing,
they weren't.
No. They dipped across the board.
Because
people lose interest. They don't. When your team is winning, it's better for the bars.
Yes.
It's because you know what? You want to go out. You want to talk about your when the Rockets were winning and winning championships during the week, even when they weren't playing, bars were full. People are talking about it. People are excited. I mean, it absolutely.
I think a lot of columnists.
The sports in a city. They validate a city and they actually what's the word they define a city. We think of Boston as a winning city. We think of Chicago when Michael Jordan was there. It's a winning city. When the Astros won this year, we're a winning city. People were talking about Houston all over the country, and Houston was talking about Houston. So, I mean, it's a great thing. When you lose, it sucks.
See, I think New York likes when they lose because they like turmoil because they're selling paper. New York, it doesn't. Like, even when the Jets stink, it's fine for their business because they got Jets, they got Giants, they got New York turmoil is going to sell.
It's still better. When we were there in 94 when the Rockets were playing the Knicks and the parade for the Rangers was going on because they won too, the Rangers won. That city was
well, I think they
on
like it.
Fire.
I think they like it really good or really bad.
Really bad, yeah. Could be bad,
I think New York loves... Really bad is actually...
Sells papers, too.
Is actually decent for a lot of cities if you've got turmoil. But in New York, it's fantastic.
Yeah, right.
Like, the Knicks have been such a bleep show that's fantastic across the board all the time for them. They don't care. They don't care. They love being able to talk about how bad the Knicks are. I truly believe that.
Yeah.
Or how good they are. Nothing would be worse than a 46-win Knicks team. They're like, what? 40? We can't do anything with this.
Right. All right. They need a shot of testosterone.
Tell you what, right now, Men's T Clinic is going to wake you up. And I'm here right now until 8:30 or 9 at night, and usually that would just beat me down, but I got back into a men's tea clinic about a month and a half ago, and the energy levels are through the roof, and they should be because they've got me at the right levels. They got me at the levels I'm supposed to be, so I got the energy level I had when I was in my 20s, and you can get back to being the real you, not the old you. Get back to being the real you, the one that has the drive, the one that gets to the gym and works out and has a good productive workout. Get rid of some of that belly fat and get your lean muscle mass back. Your drive, whether at work or in your own bedroom. These are all areas where you can correct if it's an issue. You may have some issues, and you may have some of them you say, well, that's not an issue for me. Well, that's not. I'm not really fatigued all the time. Rather, listen, if you think there's a chance, go to Men's T Clinic and find out for yourself. They will get you tested, and they will find out exactly where your testosterone level is. And if it's low, they can get it corrected, and they can even get your treatment that very first day you're there. Two locations are already open. One is at Barker Cypress and 290, the other location. And that's in Cypress. The other location is here at 1801 Durham and I-10. And there's a brand new location opening up in Pearland very, very shortly at 288 in Shadow Creek Ranch. Do not miss out on this great opportunity. Go to mensteaclinic.com.
I don't really care what you say.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.